It had to end there. Wow. I'm sorry if you're visiting with us. We cut these guys loose and they take it literally. Well, good morning. For those of you who may be either visiting with us this morning or you've not been here in a while, we are engaged in a series that we're calling The Hunt. And by that I mean, when I say hunt, I mean to seek or search after. What we're really talking about is our own personal passionate pursuit of God and the other side of that, His passionate pursuit of us. This is our fourth week already. It's hard to believe, but week number one, I tried to share with you about how people find themselves in a place of maybe thinking about going after God, and then they eventually find Him, and then sometimes people think, well, that's the end of it. But really, this hunt this spiritual journey that we're on is an ongoing hunt. And then the second week, we talked about how God is simultaneously hunting for us, seeking us out by His presence always. And then last week, Josh talked to us about how faith plays such a critical role in all of this. Like, if you don't have that, you're not going to go hunting. If you don't have that, you're not going to go after God. And there's all kinds of things that try to get in our way and try to extinguish our faith and cause us to stay home, so to speak. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about another key matter in this thing we're calling the hunt. And I'm calling what I want to share with you this morning, Can You See It? Those guys did a great job just tuning into that whole idea this morning for us. But I want to expand on that a little bit if I could here this morning. You see, some of the many ways that God has blessed us and gifted us is by giving the ability for you and I to perceive and interact with the world around us. We call them our senses. There's actually five of them: sight, hearing, smell, taste, and touch. God has graced us with these abilities to be able to explore, to be able to experience, to be able to engage with the world around us through these senses. And when it comes to this idea of the hunt or hunting, that is especially true. A lot of times the first question we ask, I heard it being asked here this morning as people were arriving, did you get anything? Right? And usually if they don't respond by saying yes, what's the next question that's asked? Did you see anything? That's right. Did you get anything? Whoa. Hang on. Did you get it? It's okay. I'm not sure what was wrong with it. Anyways, you'll figure it out, right? Okay, I'll keep talking and you figure it out. There, thank you. We say, did you get anything? And then if they don't respond by saying yes, we say, did you see anything? In fact, some of the best stories are not about harvesting something. Sometimes some of the best stories are about what somebody saw and heard. I was talking to Mike this past week, asking if he was feeling better, and he said, my son already told my story about the owl, if you were here last week. But listen, you got to hear it from the horse's mouth, so make sure you hear Mike's story about the owl landing on him while he was in the woods. It's your senses, it's our senses that make hunting possible. Whether you're sitting quietly, as those guys were doing, or you're walking quietly through the woods, your senses become alert to anything you might hear that would give you an indication that there's something out there. Your eyes like start to zero in on particular shapes and lines and things like that as you're trying to peer through the woods in an effort to spot the slightest sense that something that you're after is out there. I don't know how this works for you, but I've been with people before where, you know, I can see something out there, and I say to them, "Can you see it?" And they can't see it. My wife and I sometimes will be at the house, and our window off of our kitchen looks out into the field up back. And there have been times when I'd say, "Oh, look at the deer up there," and she'll come to the window and say, "I don't see them." And I'll say, "Right there, they're right there in the field." "I don't see them. Where are they at?" And so you start giving them directions like, "Look just over top of the apple tree," and you'll, you know, that, "Oh, there it is." You know what I'm talking about, right? People who have learned how to hunt well have also learned how to tune in their senses in a way that they see things that others might not ordinarily see, or hear things that they might not ordinarily hear. Sometimes we're so on alert, if you will, that sometimes we hear the leaves crunching and we think, "Oh, here it comes, only to discover it's this guy right here, right? Yeah. This guy. And after we turn and we look in and see that it's that guy, this is the face we have right here. This is the face that we have when we discover it's that. Sometimes this noise, this racket, this being that's taking place, we'd like to think it's this happening behind us, right? Only to discover it's really this. Squirrels with lightsabers. So right, our senses are like, they're like locked in. They're like tuned into all these sights and sounds and things that are going on, and we're trying to imagine, you know, what is that? And after the squirrels like totally do us in, and we're like, we've given up on, "Oh, that's not what I think it is." And all of a sudden you turn and you look, and you discover that it actually is what you're at. And this is the look that you have when that happens right there. That's the look. Whoa! My point in sharing that with you is to simply say that being on the hunt is a very sensory activity. It engages, it's meant to engage all of your senses. Bob Schieffer was telling me on the way in this morning that he had bumped some deer the other day, and he actually went to where they took off, and he could literally smell the smell of whatever smell deers make. Not the one Scott was advertising there, but you know, another one. He could literally smell that. And I say all that to say this. The same thing should be and could be said about our hunt for God. You see, for every natural sense that God has given to us, to be able to engage with the natural world around us, He is also giving us spiritual senses so that we might engage and explore and experience the world that He lives in. The Bible bears this out. In Ephesians chapter 1, we sang about it already here this morning. Paul was saying a prayer for those early believers, and one of the things he said he was going to pray for them about in Ephesians 1 is that God would open the eyes of their heart. The eyes of their heart. I found this picture this week. I thought you would enjoy it. I'm pretty sure it's a woman's eyes, and they've done something there with the picture and whatnot. But these are not These are not like the natural eye. This is the eyes of our hearts. They're spiritual eyes. And he specifically says about them, he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be open to sense the depth and the knowledge of who God is. The eyes of their heart. Throughout the Bible, there is this notion set forth that we should be able to hear the Spirit speaking to us. Jesus said it this way. He said, my sheep know my voice. That's not with these natural ears. It's with the ear of our heart. I found this picture this week that somebody obviously crafted. And they put an ear somehow into a heart. The Bible also goes on to say in Psalm 34, verse 8, to taste and see that the Lord is good. We're not talking about a natural savoring. We're talking about a spiritual one. In 2 Corinthians, Paul went to write to those believers and he talked about the fragrance of Christ. That there's an aroma or a smell. He said that the gospel is actually to some the fragrance of life and to others the fragrance of death. But there's a smell to it, and it's not meant to be picked up on by our natural noses. It's, if you will, it's the nostrils of our heart. And then finally, this sense of touch. You may remember the account where Jesus, as he's making his way through a crowd that's pressing in all around him, turned to his disciples and he said, who touched me? And his disciples responded and said, what do you mean who touched you? There's hundreds of people touching you. Little did they know there was a woman who touched something in God supernaturally. By just, it says there in that passage in Luke 8, it says that she just brushed the edge of his garment. But Jesus understood that something spiritual had just taken place. And he sensed it. He sensed a touch. Each of us has the ability, the God-given ability to engage with the natural world around us through a variety of our senses. But God's real heart cry is to awaken within each of us a heart that is able to interact and sense what he's doing, what he's speaking, how he's moving, how he's working. You see, you and I live in two realms simultaneously. Both are a part of God's doing, and there is constant overlap between the two. Part of our lives takes place in the natural realm or dimension, and God has given us natural senses to interact with that. But at the same time, we are also living in a supernatural realm. Hello? The natural realm, but there's also this supernatural realm that you and I are living in, and God would have us to have the spiritual senses in order to effectively interact with that realm as well. Can you imagine what it would be like to go hunting in the natural and not be able to see well or at all, or to be able to go out there and do that activity without being able to hear much or not at all? Recently, I've noticed in the last few years when I've been out hunting that I've had multiple occasions where a deer was just suddenly there. I never heard them. I never heard it coming. I just happened to look and wham, there it is. And all of that, I come home and I tell, you know, my family, my wife particularly. And then it was at that point I realized what they had been saying to me for several years now. Is that you can't hear anymore. You see, I was blaming it.
I was primarily blaming it on my wife, because when she was trying to tell me something, she was either walking away from me as she's telling, or she was in the other room telling it at just a normal tone. And I think to myself, what do you mean I can't hear you? Yeah, you're in the other room, or you're walking away from me. But here I am out in the complete silence of the outdoors. And I should be able to hear, shh, 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 and I hear nothing. So here a year or so ago, I went out and bought myself a pair of amplified earmuffs. It has a button right here on the side. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. There's a button on the side right here. Let me find it. Whoa. And when I turn this up, I can hear 10 times what the natural ear can hear. Let me turn that down. Kurt, did you say something? So the other day, I was experimenting with this in the woods, and I saw a deer come out, and he was walking in front of me, and I could not, the leaves were totally dry. It was incredible. It was beautiful out. And the deer are walking along, and I cannot hear the deer walking. Bless you, whoever sneezed. You should have heard that in here. It was really cool. So a little bit later, I saw another deer come out from the other direction. And I got out these earmuffs. And as I'm watching him, I took the earmuffs off like this, and he was walking, I couldn't hear anything. I put these on, and it sounded like it was a whole herd of them right here in front of me. And I got to thinking about this, how similar it is in the spiritual realm. How similar it is that our senses somehow get impaired. And then I remembered a passage of Scripture, and I thought, oh, my word. I came and I told Josh, I said, you know, God just turned up the amplifier of my heart to hear something and see something I had never seen before. And the passage that I felt like he drew me to was in Matthew 13. You may remember this parable from having heard about it before, but it's the parable of the sower. And Jesus takes the natural realm and uses an event in the natural realm to talk about something in the supernatural realm. He begins to talk about a farmer, an ordinary farmer, who went out to sow some seed. Now, it is not my point this morning to spend a lot of time digesting and amplifying whatever those different places the seed fell. Let me just simply say to you, they fell in four different places. They fell in the path, the rocky places, the thorny places, and then finally, the good soil. What I want us to see this morning and hear this morning is what Jesus said at the very end of the first part of this parable. He said this. I have it for you right here on the screen. He who has ears, let him hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Again, just to review, he talked about an ordinary event of a farmer out sowing seed, the seed falling in a variety of places, and then ends by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. He wasn't talking about natural hearing. He was talking about supernatural hearing. He was talking about spiritual ears and spiritual hearing. To which the disciples respond by saying, listen, why do you speak to people in parables? Remember, he just got done talking about farmer out sowing a seed. He ends that section by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. The disciples in turn respond by saying, why do you speak in parables? Let's talk about that for just a second. A parable is an earthly or natural example that has a heavenly or supernatural meaning and application. Is that fair? That's what parables are about. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you another insight, another revelation, another download of truth about God, his kingdom, the supernatural realm. And here's how I'm going to do it. A farmer went out and he sowed his seed, and the seed fell in a variety of places with some possible outcomes in regards to where the seed fell. He who has ears, let him hear what I just said. The disciples say, why do you speak to us in parables? Now Jesus answers their question. Catch this, please. Please get this. Here's what he says. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Let me break this down for you. Are you there? Listen. The reason that he was speaking to them in parables is because a parable is, as we just talked about, it's an earthly example of him trying to teach a heavenly idea, right? Or a kingdom idea. He's speaking to them in parables because the design of a parable is that you have to actually hunt for the meaning. You actually have to think about it and hunt for the meaning. Are you there? If you don't hunt for it, if you don't think about it, you won't get what he's trying to say. He's speaking to them in parables because he wants them to stop and think about what he just said and try to allow God to speak to their hearts to bring meaning and understanding to what he just said. Are you there? He wants people to have a heart to hunt for what he's trying to tell them. I've heard people say, you know, to me at different times, why doesn't Jesus just tell us just plainly what he means? Because he wants us to hunt for it. Why doesn't the 10-point buck just stand in my backyard? Why don't they just come and just stand there for me?
God wants them to live.
Nice. Wisdom. Wisdom. That's it. Right there.
Now, listen. Listen. What makes this even more concerning listen now, is Jesus said, what's going on in these people's ability to perceive is what Isaiah prophesied about hundreds of years before. Now let's talk about that for just a second. Jesus is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. For those of you who've been in church circles for a while, you should recognize when I say Isaiah 6, what that passage is about. That's the passage you probably heard before about Isaiah encountering the presence of God. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Sound familiar? Right? You've heard it before. And that's the whole passage where he's encountering the presence of God. And he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am, as a human being, not worthy to be experiencing what I'm seeing and tasting and whatnot right now. I'm not worthy. Please bring a coal from the altar and touch my lips that I might be pure. Then God says to Isaiah, I'm looking for someone to send. And Isaiah says, Lord, here am I, send me. Right? You with me? Isaiah makes himself available. Then God says, okay, I'm going to give you a description of what you're going to encounter. And this is what he said. The people that you're going to go to, they will be ever hearing, but never understanding. They will be ever seeing, but not perceiving. Now here's the scary part. He wasn't talking about people who had never seen or experienced God. He was talking to the people of God. Isaiah was sent out to speak to God's people. Here we are, hundreds of years later. God has come in the flesh. It's God talking directly to people now. To what people? To his own people. To the Jewish people. And here they find themselves hearing what he's saying with their natural ear, but not with their hearts. And I say, Lord, how is it possible? How is it possible that you can be speaking to people who know you, who claim to be followers of yours, and they're still not hearing what you're saying? And I thought to myself, how often does that happen today? It's like we're hearing with our natural ears, we're seeing a few things with our natural eyes, but somehow the translation of all of that into the eyes of our heart or the ear of our heart somehow never makes it. Why is that? Why is it that people can come, and please, I mean no disrespect, I mean no ill will this morning, but how is it that people can come and hear your word, or I can hear your word, and then go away and not pay heed to it? How is that possible? It's possible because we're seeing with our natural eyes, we're hearing with our natural ears, but it's not translating into us hearing with our spiritual ear or seeing with our spiritual eyes. Somehow those have become not effective. And Jesus tells exactly why that all happens. Are you ready? For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. If you want to really know what's wrong with our nation right now, it's right there. But do you know who the nation is made up of, don't you? People just like you and me. Hello? Do you know there are literally thousands upon thousands of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people sitting in churches all across America this morning? They are. I totally get it why people who've not encountered God don't get it. I totally get that. Their hearing aids have not been set up yet. Their hearing aids have not been turned on. Their eyes are blind, the Bible says. They haven't been awakened their hearts are not able to perceive and receive, but that should not be true of us. I looked up this word for calloused. This is what are we talk kind of sermon are we talking about? Kathy, what did you say a couple weeks ago? Expository, thank you. Who said it? Thank you, Mac, very much. Here's my expository part of my sermon. Are you ready? I looked up this word calloused. Listen to this. Here's what it means. It's this Greek word, and it means to be made fat so as to not understand. You and I would know the idiom fat and happy. No. This is what fat and happy means in our culture. The meaning of that phrase is that someone has become so content that they have little incentive to improve their situation. Whoa! Fat and happy. Jesus was saying about those people of that time who were under Roman rule. Hello? Not wanting to be politically under the arm and heavy hand of the Romans. You would think that they would be like desperate to hear what God was saying. But apparently not. Their hearts had become calloused. They were content with the way things were. They had no real need to hunt for God. Do you know one of the things that there is a big difference, and I don't know, maybe somebody in here has experienced this. But it's one thing to hunt for sport. It's another thing to hunt for survival. I heard you just say, my daughter, for those of you who don't know, had just gone through a really rough patch. And I know my daughter has read Christian books and she has read her Bible and so forth and so on. But as she's going through this rough, really rough patch emotionally and just, you know, she had some surgery. It took out parts of this, that, and the other thing and some stuff was all messed up. And she said, Dad, all I'm doing right now, all I'm doing is reading the Bible and listening to Christian music. That's all I'm doing. I'm immersing myself in this to make sure that the truth holds strong in my heart. Amen. You see, my observation, I'm saying this on a personal level, when we're fat and happy, things are going well. Study Israel's history. When Israel was doing well, they wandered away from God. When they were stuck between a rock and a hard place, the hunt got serious. So it was a matter of survival at that point. You see, our hearts can become calloused as well. They can become desensitized to the sensing of God in our lives. I wrote down here four quick ways that a lot of times I think our hearts become desensitized. Number one, when sin is undealt with and no longer considered important to us, it will desensitize our hearts to God. Number two, only engaging in the natural sphere of things will desensitize your heart to God. Number three, becoming fat and happy, which means in my way it's all good, can desensitize our hearts to God. And number four, wounds of the heart can desensitize our hearts to God. I specifically wrote here in my notes, unforgiveness is like putting earplugs in. So, how do we try to keep our hearts spiritually sensitive and alive to God's dealings in our life? I'm of the conviction that God is at work every day of our life. He is doing things. He is speaking things. He is at work in our lives and through our lives, or wants to be through our lives to the world around us. I'm convinced of that. That God does not take a day off. How do we stay sensitive? How is it that I'm able to see what God is doing? How is it that I'm able to hear what God is doing? Well, have any of you had calluses before? The way that you remove a callus, I looked this up. The way that you remove a callus is you soak it in warm water and let it get soft. And then with either your finger or another instrument, you gently peel away the top layer of the callus. For our purposes, spiritually speaking, if we are not allowing our hearts to soak in the water of God's word, if we are not giving ourselves to allowing this book right here to keep our hearts soft and pliable, I'm telling you, you won't be able to hear God the way He wants you to. You won't be able to see what He's doing. You won't be able to smell His activity. You won't be able to sense His touch on your life. You won't be able to taste and see that the Lord is good because your heart has become insensitive to it. To allow our hearts to soak in God's word, to allow the oil of the Holy Spirit to so soften our hearts, and then to allow God to gently remove from us that layer of callus that is built up. In short, you have to go on the hunt for God. If you don't hunt for Him, you won't find Him. That's what the Bible teaches. If you seek, you will find. A good hunter looks to hone his senses. I hope every one of you that's in here this morning would like to be able to see what God is doing. I hope every one of you that's in here today would like to be able to hear what God is saying to you. I hope all of you in here want to be able to sense and experience the touch of God on your life. To be able to smell that God's in the area. To be able to taste that sense of God's work in my life. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, a mature follower of Christ is someone who has been able to train themselves to be able to distinguish between what God is doing versus what the enemy is doing. Train themselves. If your senses are dull, your hunt for God will be difficult at best and impossible at worst. Listen, he wants us to get it. Listen, I'm going back now to Matthew 13. Listen to how he ends that talk on the parable of the sower. Listen to what he says. This is the last verse right here. Otherwise, remember, this is not seeing or perceiving, not hearing or understanding, so and so on. He says, otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Hallelujah. You know, the thing when I read about the life of Christ, one of the things that I pick up on, and I think you probably have too, but maybe not in the context that we're talking about, is that Jesus' spiritual senses were fully activated. Like he knew at all times what the Father was doing. In fact, he looked to see if he could see what the Father was doing and then followed suit. He always was able to hear what the Father was saying. His spiritual senses were fully alive. They were fully engaged, and he was able to participate in that spiritual realm in a way that you and I only wished we could, right? Yeah. Right? Like totally locked on. I think one of the ways that you and I can only hope to live at that level is when you and I are making sure that our hearts have not become calloused in any way, shape, or form. I think it's ridiculous for us, even for any of us, to sit here and say, well, my heart's totally fine. Great, then would you please tell me what God is saying, what God is doing? All of us in here have some handicaps, if you will. Right? Our sight isn't quite what it used to be. Our hearing isn't quite what it used to be. And I'm suggesting to us this morning, the only way for us to change that, the only way for us to get back on the mend, if you will, or back, you know, for these spiritual years that I'm talking about, you can't go out and buy some of these cheaters, some of these helpers. The way that we get our ears to be able to hear and our eyes to be able to see is by making sure that we are investing the necessary time in soaking in the Word and allowing the work of the Holy Spirit to take place in our heart's life. If you leave here today and you go out and you never pay any attention to this, I promise you, you will find it increasingly difficult to see what God is doing and to hear what God is saying to you. You just won't be able to. It'll be like all this. I had these things on the other day. I was telling Josh about this. These things are so sensitive. I had them on in the woods, and I could hear a rooster crowing a mile away. I could hear this rooster at some farm going off down the way. But as I'm sitting there, I've got these things on, and I hear this this low rumble, and I'm like, what is that? And then it went away, and I thought, well, must be there's something wrong with these things. And then the rumble came back again. This like, ooh. And then it went away again. I thought, what in the world is that? It was me. I was clenching my teeth. And as I'm clenching my teeth, that little muscle movement that takes place, it was picking up on that. And I'm thinking to myself, self, stop clenching your teeth. You know what I mean? Sounds like an airplane getting ready to take off. We all need prayer for our ears. We all need prayer for our eyes. You know, last week I suggested to you, when I was sharing in the announcement time, I suggested to you to maybe take some time out to skip a meal and seek God and that for our lections and all that kind of stuff. I was reading this week, and one of the things I found out was is that this is scientifically proven, that if that your brain, the way our brains work, is that if one of your senses is not working like it should, like if there's a deficit in that area, your brain knows how to reprogram so it kind of accentuates another sense to help us. Does that make sense? Like they say, a truly blind person, their sense of touch is greater than what ours would be normally, right? Because the brain, they figured out that somehow the brain tries to compensate for all this. And I thought about, and you're thinking to yourself right now, what's that have to do with fasting? I thought about this for a second, and I thought, could it be that you and I may be putting our sense of taste on hold for a minute? Hello? Yeah. Would cause our sense of hearing and our sense of sight to increase. Could it be that in the supernatural realm, God says, listen, if you're serious about not tasting some stuff right now, let me show you some stuff. Let me be able to have you see some stuff and hear some stuff that maybe otherwise you wouldn't. I also want to leave you with this thought. It's really important that you and I, in the times that we're living, I believe anyways, especially, that you and I really stop and think about this stuff seriously. Because it's going to be imperative as we navigate our way forward through this world that you and I are able to sense what God is doing and to hear what God is doing rather than what we're hearing through the television set all the time, okay? We better be able to have eyes to see what he's doing, ears to hear what he's doing, because it's going to be a confusing mess if we don't. And then I thought to myself, the Bible seems to indicate that God speaks to us many times in a still, small voice. A still, small voice. You better be able to hear. Right? Because if he's talking, you know, I'm saying what a lot more these days? And my wife's speaking in her normal tone. What'd you say? But if she turned it down even further, I'm in trouble. What? Listen, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I need the ears of my heart and the eyes of my heart resensitized to what God is saying and what God is doing. Sometimes we're just bathing in the natural world. Do you know what I'm saying? We're just spending 90% of our time bathing in that. And it's like, oh man, I don't know about you, but I just want to put my hands over my ears and close my eyes and hope it all goes away. And God says, listen, Why don't you just tune in to what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I want to speak to you personally, so that your heart is strengthened and encouraged and not discouraged. Amen? We're on the hunt. We're on the hunt to know him. We're on the hunt to find him. This didn't end when we initially found him. We're still on the hunt. It never stops. Why don't you stand with me, if you would, this morning as we pray? Here's what I want you to do this morning. I know some of you, this is going to be like kiddie stuff. Sorry. I want to begin by just praying for our eyes. And if you would, would you just put your hands on your eyes like you're doing hide and go seek there for just a second? Sorry. You don't have to look around. You just, you know, the Bible says if we got problems, we're going to lay hands on people. Right now, you're laying hands on yourself, on your own eyes. Lord, we pray for our eyes this morning. Lord, we want to be honest with you that they haven't been as adept at being able to see what they should see, what you want to show us, what it is that you're doing in our lives and want to do through our lives, Lord. I'm asking for a miracle of the Holy Spirit this morning to give us fresh eyes, new eyes, for the spiritual cataracts, Lord, to fall off of our eyes, Lord, so that we could accurately see what it is you're doing. We could accurately see what it is you're calling us to do in these times that we're living in. Lord, give us new eyes. Give us clear. Give us 20/20 vision in the spiritual, Lord. Give us even better than that, Lord, the ability to see what the natural eye cannot see, Lord. Give us new eyes. Now, if you would just take your hands and place them on your ears. Lord, I'm asking this morning that you would give us Holy Spirit ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that we would be able to be very aware of your voice in our life, even if it is a still small voice. I pray that you'll give us hearing that's 10 times what our natural hearing is, Lord. That you will cause the ears of our heart, Lord, to be able to sense your voice and to be able to sense like Isaiah did, Lord, here am I, send me. Show me where you want me to go. Tell me what it is you want me to do. May I be quick to obey your voice in my life, Lord. Give us ears, Lord, to hear what it is you're saying. And now maybe just place your I don't know how I'm going to talk and do this, but by this on your lips for just a minute there, on that sense of taste. Lord, we pray that we would be able to truly know what it means to taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, that we could sense your very presence like it's tasteable to us, Lord. Like we're not wondering about it or questioning, oh, what's this about? We can actually taste your Spirit at work in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, give us that sense of smell. Maybe you just move your hands up a little bit to your nose. Give us that sense of smell, Lord, that you become a fragrance, Lord, to us like none other, Lord, that we can smell your very touch upon our lives, Lord, that we can be a good smell to others, that when that gospel word, that good news is coming our direction, Lord, that it would smell like it to us, Lord, and we wouldn't be quick to just treat it as nothing. Lord, we want to be fully activated, just like Jesus was. We want to be fully alive in being able to sense what it is you're doing in the spiritual realm around us. So, Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, be able to taste, touch, sense, feel, smell, whatever, Lord. We just want to be able to know where you're at all times. We're chasing after you. We're running after you. We're going after it with all we've got, God. And I'm asking for us to be able to sense that along the way. God, help us. Even this week, I pray for those who've come to hear your word this morning, Lord. Thank you that they've come to hear what you have to say. But Lord, we don't want to walk away as those people of Israel wondering what in the world was he talking about? I pray that you would give these folks divine ability, even this week as they encounter situations in their family, situations at work, situations in their own personal heart and lives. I pray that you'll give them the ability to sense what the Spirit is saying, to see what you are doing, God, so that we can flow with that, so we can obey that, so we can walk in that, Lord. Make us good hunters of you, God. Make us, know what to look for. Train us, Lord. Make us equipped to do what you're calling us to do in that realm of our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen.